Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio as well, joining us for First Coast News, waiting on the line. Brent, you've heard my voice so many times. I apologize. You just had to sit there. Drew gave me the old, you're on the phone right now. We've done this for 17 years at 5:30 Central Time, but sorry about that. You just had to hear one of my rants.
Well, I don't know if it's any different right now with in the coaching profession in college football. I mean, you've got Mel Tucker, who may end up with something like a 9-year, $95 million type deal. You're talking about a guy that has limited head coaching experience. He's done a good job. Now, obviously, after the Ohio State game, they may regret that deal, but that's part of the problem in athletics in general is we're giving these guys an obscene amount of money to keep them from either going somewhere else to coach or going somewhere else to play. And I think people need to be rewarded for doing good work, but at the same time, could you also say that's what gets schools and teams in trouble for being on the hook for that money?
Brent, everybody likes the vanilla ice stories these days. You know what I mean? Like, we know that one song that's played at weddings and other things, but at the same time, his career was Ice Ice Baby, and that was it. And he was cold as ice the rest of his career. But the difference is, everybody today, all you have to do is one or two things good, and you're getting paid. You know, Mel Tucker he's done a solid job, and I wish him the best. He seems like a good guy. But this is a guy, as a head coach, that went 5-7 at Colorado. He went 2-5 last year with Michigan State on a shortened season. And this year he gets off to a hot start, and they really hadn't played anybody at the front end of their schedule. They beat Miami, which we understand is not that big of a deal. Florida State just beat him, and so did a lot of teams. But he starts to get off to a hot start at 7-0, and we're talking 10-year, $95 million. Like, there are coaches out there that have had a track record for 8, 9, 10 years doing this, and all of a sudden, we just want to end it. Dabo Swinney and Clemson have gone to 6 straight college football playoffs. You know how hard that is? 6 straight college football playoffs. Okay. And they start losing this year with DJ Uiagalelei a little, and they're like, is Clemson done? Is Dabo's career done? I mean, it's insane how quickly we turn the tide on things. And in this, you know, Mel Tucker's not worth that money, but at the same time, good for him for getting it.
Well, it's just your market value at this point. And I think is that the other thing, the coach's best friend or the other schools that supposedly want you. So Mel Tucker being rumored for the LSU job or basically for any of the big money jobs or big prestige jobs. And again, Chad, that's all you need. You need another school rumored to want you sometimes, whether they really want to or not. So that's the problem with this. A lot of it's agent driven. But at the same time, I know if you get the money, that's fine, but that's where this comes from.
Well, and I think the interesting thing, Brent, how you bring that up is, from what I read in regards to who could be in the running to get this Florida job, is Matt Campbell was a hot name before the year started, but now that Iowa State's gone 6-5, his name's kind of cooled off from things. It's like, you returned all those players, but you're going 6-5 in the Big 12. Do you really have what it takes to coach at a school like Florida? You know, do you have the luck on your side, really, of how good you are when a job comes open? Because I think last year, if this Florida job came open, you know, maybe Matt Campbell jumps at that opportunity because he knows it could be one that financially, you know, seriously impacts him, as well as, you know, you get a chance to coach in the SEC, where now I don't know if Florida would be as interested as maybe last year.
Well, here's the deal with Campbell, though. You take a risk on Campbell. He has shown through the in time that he's a really good football coach. And I've been impressed with Campbell. He has seemed to be very happy at Iowa State. I mean, would he be a fit in the Florida culture? We don't know that. But at the same time, I think he stood the test of time and coached well enough and has a good enough record of where you could take a chance on him. See, Campbell is like Billy Napier. They're program builders. They're not guys like, say, Gus Malzahn, who goes to a school and kind of helps them rebuild for 3 or 4 years and moves on. Those are guys I look at that can really be detailed guys, really good recruiters, bring in good staff. All of that adds up.
Yeah, perception versus reality. Mark D'Antonio spent pretty much 13 seasons at Michigan State and had a 67% winning percentage and mm-hmm. got pretty much let go. And you have a guy in Mel Tucker that has spent 2 years and he has a 58% winning percentage and he just got a 10-year $95 million deal. Just to enlighten people on perception versus reality, D'Antonio had a much better overall winning percentage and got let go, and they just gave a guy $95 million with 9 points mm-hmm. less. But if you move on here to what's going on in Florida, at this point it's done. Everybody can speculate, do all that, but I want to ask you a question that's real because he's on the roster. Anthony Richardson seems like he has potential to be a future quarterback. Coach, I mean, Brent, do you believe – I'll call you Coach today. Coach, do you believe that it's going to be a situation where – you have Anthony Richardson as the guy that whoever comes in wants to build around, or do you believe that the transfer portal, which has been vital to so many team success over the last 5 to 6 years, is going to be the key for whoever comes in next?
Well, I think it's probably both. Whoever comes in next would end up having to re-recruit Anthony Richardson to get him to stay. As this reputation is a quarterback whisperer, the problem is Mullen really had a situation where it did not work with these quarterbacks. He was way too loyal to Emory Jones. And Emory Jones, frankly, just an average quarterback. If you had a situation with Anthony Richardson getting the snaps that Emory Jones did, he may have been a superstar at the end of the year. So I think, Chad, you've got to do both. I think you've got to convince Richardson to stay, but you're also probably looking at bringing in a transfer guy just to have some assurance and good backup.
Looking at, you know, obviously there's some big slate of games this week, Brent, but for Alabama, having secured their spot in the SEC title game, say they lose to Georgia. I know that some of the debate has been, well, how good of a chance does Alabama actually have to get into the playoff even with two losses? And I think that, you know, Oregon kind of cleared part of the potential way there, but if Ohio State beats Michigan and Oklahoma State finds a way to lose to either Oklahoma or in the Big 12 title game, if Alabama loses to Georgia, I feel like they still make a good case to get in over a one-loss Notre Dame team, given how they've looked this season.
If you're the SEC champion and you beat the undefeated team, there's a real chance that that would happen. Now, Georgia's going regardless.
Right.
Even if they lose to Alabama, obviously. So, but we never really had a two-loss team that has gotten in. So Bama would probably still need some chaos around them in order for that to happen. But that would be the situation where if they beat Auburn and they lost a close game to Georgia, is there a chance that they could get in? I'm not sure that would happen with the two losses, but it would take a tremendous amount of chaos around them for that to work.
If they put Cincinnati in, if the committee puts Cincinnati in tomorrow in the top four, is there any way in the world, if they go undefeated and finish the year off, that they don't stay in the top four? Or do you think if the committee puts them in, they have to stay if they went out?
Let me try this one on you. Notre Dame beats Stanford. Now, they won't have a championship game because they're independent, but would it shock you, either one of you, if the committee put Notre Dame in before Cincinnati.
What a shame!
Even though
be.
Cincinnati beat them.
Yeah,
that would be
Notre
terrible.
Dame.
That
would be
that.
That would be that would be a conflict of a mutiny inside that room. And you were on a mock committee, Brent. But there'd be people with brains in that room that know why they're doing that. Notre Dame, A, would bring a lot more revenue to the table.
Yep.
There would be
yep.
people that would use the excuse that they played a harder schedule, which you know is yep. obvious, but it's an obvious statement. But, I mean, at the
Absolutely.
Same time, the difference is if they do that, it's for one reason. It's the monetary value and the historic relevance of – that would be
True.
It. And everybody in that committee would say – and it'd be the one year it would be the biggest slap in the face to everybody that has intellect because you'd be like, this team just walked into South Bend. And they beat you convincingly in that game and looked good doing it. And then they went on to be unbeaten. And also, we'll give them this. They'd been getting a little razzed because of what they did. And we all agree.
They had a great game over the weekend.
That's what I'm saying. Like they yeah. looked bad in a couple games against Navy and against teams like Tulane. And then all of a sudden, though, they come out against Tulsa. And then they come out and they just mop the floor with a team that was unbeaten 2 weeks ago. That needs to count for something. There's very few teams that would beat SMU in this country 48-14. They've done everything, and on top of that, to what Drew's saying right now, if they go out right now and they play against a team like Michigan plays against Ohio State, we assume that Georgia's still better than Alabama and they beat them with two losses, so the gates are going to be open for more teams to get in now. And Cincinnati is not going to get bumped for Oklahoma State or Oklahoma. If they do, then that's just – it's atrocious.
Which is where, Brent, I was going to ask you, too. So say Ohio State wins and say Alabama loses to Georgia and Oklahoma State wins out and they win the Big 12. I think they're sneaky in the back because they'll have beaten mm-hmm. Oklahoma. If Oklahoma loses, Baylor would get in. And if Oklahoma State could beat Baylor, who they lost to earlier this year, with one loss, I think – they actually might have a decent case to get in over a two-loss Alabama team. But, you know, if you compare Alabama to Oklahoma State, you know good and well that Alabama is better. Mm-hmm. But does the committee put a two-loss Power 5 team ahead of a one-loss Power 5 team who won their conference title? I think that's where it gets a little
I don't think so.
Shaky.
And Alabama doesn't pass the eye test this year, Drew. I don't think so. But, Brent?
No, it would be very difficult for them to get in this year under those circumstances. They've struggled with several teams, Florida, even with Tennessee for a while,
LSU
mm-hmm. and then Arkansas, and who knows where they're going to this week with Auburn. But I still just don't think, regardless, even if they run the table, they're going to put Cincinnati in. Do I agree with it?
Yeah.
No. Is it fair? No. But I'll be honest with you. I think this committee, now if they're 4 tomorrow night, that might be something else, or they just may be a placeholder then, as they say. But all in all, guys, I just do not see this committee biting the bullet and admitting that they deserve to be in there if they can put another Power 5 in there.
Well, let's just thank Oregon for looking as hideous as they were this week. So
yeah.
we don't have
yeah.
to worry about
yeah.
that. That helped everybody. And, you know, big win there as well. Kudos to LSU for beating Louisiana Monroe. That was a statement right there. So there you go. That's, all right. Well, yeah, some type of statement. I'm not saying what kind, but you know what, Brent? It's a great one. Good win for South Carolina. Good for what Shane Beamer's doing.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, Shane Beamer and Mike Norvell deserve a lot of credit for taking two teams that
really
would have been fine in Thanksgiving, just giving thanks for family and saying our football team has a problem. But they now are both 5-6 and 6-5 and doing it, winning some tough games down the stretch. So South Carolina to beat Florida and to beat Auburn in the last couple weeks, fans would have never thought so. And he definitely deserves a lot of credit.
Well, if they beat Clemson somehow, and right now I don't know if I discount anything, if they beat Clemson, I'm not sure Beamer would not get a bunch of votes for Coach of the Year nationwide.
I mean,
he might end up getting a contract like what Mel Tucker, not quite that much money, but he might end up getting an extension. They might just jump at the chance to do that.
Yeah, you know what? it was fun to watch. It's fun to watch. I like him too. I mean, most people, he's real. Like even that George interview we played where they're like, so how do you think why didn't you run the football well? And they're like, have you seen George's line? Are you guys stupid? Like, wait a second. They're like 350 pounds and they run as fast as anyone on this call. Like he was like, what do you think, guys? I mean, what the heck? But he's just real. And I think that's everybody asks for in our business, Brent, or anything, is always to be real. The second someone thinks you're a con artist, the second people lose credibility in any job. So and Shane knows that his team isn't that good. Their roster is not that good. And maybe they never get past being 7-5 at South Carolina and Columbia. But I will say they definitely.
This is how you recruit players, doing this.
I mean, and you're doing it with less talent. Kids get intrigued when you're doing it with less talent because once he gets a roster, look out. I mean, what Lane Kiffin's done and others, so should be exciting. But, Brent, we're up against the break. Always appreciate your time and look forward to doing this again soon.
Good. Thank you, guys. Take care.